This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Yesterday, we were talking about, I felt confident about the Knicks still in this series. Not that I was going to predict them to win, but I felt good about it. I felt better being down 3-1 against the Pacers than I did when they were up 2-0 against the Celtics. And we don't need to get into the reasons why, because they're no longer down 3-1, but that's where I was at. So I still feel good about this series, but I don't know that if what we saw last night is sustainable. I just, you would think, okay, well, they played that type of game. Brunson said it afterward, and it couldn't be more perfect. Now we just got to do that again. Right? Like, you come in with the right mindset, the right attitude, you play hard, you play disciplined for the most part, all those things. Now we just got to do it again. That's the key. Doing it again and then again. And they've put themselves in a spot where they have to be perfect now, maybe even better than perfect, at least in game six on the road, which is going to be their toughest challenge to date. Me personally, I didn't learn much about the Knicks last night. We are going to learn what this team is really made of tomorrow night.
I think I learned more than you, though, last night. I did not think they had the heart to play the way they did. So that's encouraging. Listen, is it replicable? Well, think about this. And it's one of the things I said in the first hour of the show. If you guys missed it, free Odyssey app, go check it out. The Open, it was solid. Everything you guys want to get with me and Sal here. You can always do effort. Like, effort is from within. I just need to try. So do I think they can replicate that? I do. Now, if we're sitting here and they shot, again, 52% from three, which they didn't, they shot 28%, which is awful, I would say, no, that's not replicable. Like, they're not going to shoot that again, so I'm a little worried about that. If they hit 31 out of 35 foul shots in whatever that is, 89, 90%, somewhere in the vicinity there, I'd say, all right, are they going to get that many or make that many? No, they were 68% last night. So it's not like they played amazing from an efficiency perspective. So their efficiency could go up, and you can't really truly control that. You could try, but you can't. But you can control effort, so they can make more shots, and they could replicate the effort. So I feel a little bit better, yeah.
Well, they're going to have to make more shots. They're going to have to be better because Halliburton's going to be better. This is not any secret sauce that they figured out to have him be a zero, and if they did, then they're going to win the series with ease the next couple of games. I don't believe that's going to be the case. I think you're going to get the Pacers' best effort and best punch. I still don't think it could be good enough if the Knicks follow with their best punch. But I'm curious as to what you learned. Like, you expected them to win the game last night.
I did.
Okay, so we're on the same page there. So then what did we really learn about this team? We've seen the different iterations of, you know, the bench coming out there or featuring Towns at certain points. Mm-hmm. We've seen Jalen Brunson be great at times. So what did we learn about this team's mettle last night?
A little bit. Finish up.
I don't feel that.
Okay. I don't want to overstate the metal because it wasn't like this revelation, like, whoa, they're completely something. I was impressed with their tenacity. That was nice to see. But then again, you better show that when your season's on the brink. So I can't go nuts with the platitudes.
And we've
that's
seen
bare
that.
Minimum requirement, man.
Correct. And we've seen that before.
True.
Where they closed out the Celtics the way they did.
No doubt about it. So it's not like it's the first time we've seen it. But to win for basically 2 months, right, which is what it's required to get to the finals and eventually win that, to be a champion, you've got to have a lot of purposeful players. Now, we know that they've got a superstar. That was once again demonstrated last night. The one flaw, the defense and the sloppiness with the turnovers, I think they found a way to mitigate that early by playing him off the ball. So, okay, a little check in the column that says coach's adjustments. That makes me feel good as well. And I just don't think they had enough useful, purposeful players that they played. And now I'm telling you, I don't know if they're going to win tomorrow night. I'm going to jot this down like I did the Soto batting average. I keep some stuff in my notepad as well. And I'm going to jot this down. Shamit tomorrow night, minimum 8 to 12 minutes. And DeLon Wright, minimum 6 to 9. Now, that's not massive minutes, but it's that sequence where your stars can get fresh and you could preserve a lead or prevent the deficit from going from 6 to 19. And because I know those guys are going to play, it does change a little bit, without going nuts here, my belief in their ability to come back for a game 7.
Yeah, I think those guys will play. I don't think that's going to be the reason why they win if they do win. I think they're going to need a better shooting night from OG Anunoby. They're going to need a better three-point performance from Karl-Anthony Towns. They're going to need maybe a little bit more scoring from Jalen Brunson or Mikal Bridges. Or if not one of those guys, then Deuce is going to have to pick it up. Like, they're going to have to, the Knicks are not going to be able to win this game, I don't believe, scoring 110 points.
Agreed, but that's why it all goes into, and I reference the stats here, now I could assign actual true values to certain players, but I don't really need to because I'm kind of with you. Like, when you shoot 8 for 29 from three-point land, which is 28%, whether it's Bridges, whether it's OG, whether it's whomever with a couple of more threes, it's almost insignificant to me as long as that number goes up, and I think it's going to. 28% is horrible.
Now, the key part of why I'm saying I think we're going to learn about what this team is made of tomorrow night, it's not about the numbers, it's not about the stats, it's not about the minutes, it's about what this team has inside them as far as being a resilient group. Like, people are saying, oh, the Knicks, they're so resilient, they won last night. No, that doesn't happen after you blow a series the way that they did when they lost game one and you're down 3-1 in the spot where you should be up. So you can't get flowers for that. I'm not throwing accolades the Knicks' way for trying to work their way back into the series. Tomorrow night, however, is a different story. This is going to be a game that's going to test their mettle, that's going to see where we're at big picture, BT. They could easily lose the game, and then we're doing the postmortem and the reassessment when we come in Monday morning at 10 a.m. Okay, how did we get here? What needs to happen for them to get better? Blah, blah, blah. Or
yeah,
they shock, I mean, shock the world maybe a little strong, but I think the majority of people now are going to be against the Knicks, where most people last night were in favor of the Knicks. The odds would probably say that. I don't know what it is exactly right now.
We can look it up. 3.5 points, Pacers by favorite.
Okay,
3.5.
So people are going to be picking the Pacers. Pacers got their season on the line. They don't want to return for game 7. Even Charles Barkley, who's never said a good thing about the Knicks, ever said the Pacers better win that game because they're going to get smoked if it comes back to a game 7. We're going to see what this group is made of. I'm not just talking about the intestinal fortitude, too. I'm talking about, is this real? When they're at their peak, and we've seen glimpses of that, is it real? Is it sustainable? Can they do that when they have to, against the odds, season on the line, up against the wall, in a daunting environment in Indiana? Now we're going to learn what this team is made of. If they lose, it's okay. It confirms maybe your thoughts about them not being good enough. Maybe they have to make significant changes. If they win, now we're talking about, hey, they're one win away in game 7 from the NBA bleeping finals.
Yeah. Listen, the Knicks have provided, I think, I won't be prisoner of the moment, but just, I feel like more than usual, so many different feelings toward the team. Like, you know, when the Yankees were making their run last year, even though they obviously didn't win it, like, there weren't these crazy, you know, up and down, right, up and down, up and down. The Knicks are unique in that sense, and I'm going to take it a step further, right? So last night, we're all on the same page. I'm not giving them flowers, even though I'm pumped and I enjoyed it. You had to win the game. So you did what you were supposed to do. But think about the two very different conversations, which just basically brought us back to common stable ground. Now, if they go to Indiana and they win tomorrow night, you and I come in here on fire on Monday. Wow, look at how resolute they are, and look at this. Now it changes the tone again. Then if they were to lose game 7 at home, they could win, of course, but if they were to, the emotional flippage with this team feels like it's very rare.
I think you just nailed it. The roller coaster, the emotional highs and lows, but now we're at a point, which is why I say, okay, last night didn't learn anything. Now we're at a point where there's nowhere to go. They have to win these next two games. And before we get to the second of the two, you got to start with the one tomorrow night. We're going to learn about this team. And then, yeah, we're going to be pumped up on Monday. Everybody's going to be excited. Everybody's going to be expecting the Knicks to win that night. But then they're going to have to go out there and deliver that. They've put themselves in a spot where that's what's required here. So we are going to find out. Whereas last year was like, it was unknown because they got hurt. And then there was always the thought like, oh, what were they going to be with Randall? Or what could they? We didn't know. We are going to learn definitively, finally, for once and for all, this season with this group, what they are made of tomorrow and then hopefully on Monday.
And I got to tell you, from a fan, just as a fan, that's very satisfying.
Yes.
I think the worst thing is guessing or trying to, you know, piece things together with some information, but the other, like, we don't really know what they would have been with Randall. If they, like, we can guess, right, and DiVincenzo, but you're right. We will get the answer. We might not like the answer, but we're getting the answer.
BT and Sal on the fan. Jeff is in Port Washington. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, boys. I have a couple of points from last night, and then I got my feelings about, like you said, about where the Knicks are going. First point is three-pointers. The one thing you've got to do to stop somebody from shooting a three-pointer is body up on them. You got to create space. That's why Brunson hits his shots. He creates space. They were better last night, but they're not bodying up enough, constantly double-teaming someone, and someone's running over to cover the three-pointer. Next, stupid decisions. Karl Anthony Towns last night, when he had four fouls, two of them were stupid fouls. One where he was setting a pick and he pushed somebody.
Yeah.
Why does he do that?
I don't know.
I don't understand.
He didn't even answer it after the game.
You want to know my opinion? Yeah. I think he does it because he's not in great shape, and I think he's tired, and I think he just gets sloppy and lazy.
That's exactly
my opinion.
I think, BT, I think, like you say, emotion. He shows emotion all the time. I think he gets too caught up. He gets angry, and he does that. So lastly is, and it took you, BT, a long time to get there with Sal, the bench. Why are they playing Shamet? Why are they playing Wright? Because you got to broaden your bench a little bit, because if you're depending on five guys to take you the whole way, they need rest. Brunson came out from that long period that they gave him on the bench in the third and fourth. He came out firing.
Yeah.
He came out firing, and he was a better player for it. Now, my last thing is, I root for three teams religiously in New York. The Mets, the New York Giants, and the Knicks. I lost the Knicks for a while when Isaiah came in, and I had to adjust to the fact that 90s basketball was gone.
Okay.
I'm back. I love Tibbs. I like the defense. I love everything.
Right.
I have a saying about the Giants and the Mets, and I think it goes to the Knicks at this point. They're not at their best when things are going well. The Mets are horrible when they've got no outs and bases loaded. The Giants, my favorite saying about the Giants, even though they won Super Bowls and made me really happy, is when they've got another team, third and 23, what happens? The quarterback throws a pass, first down. I think that being have your back against the wall suits New York teams. They function better. Discuss, guys. Thanks. And I love you in the afternoon.
Thank you, Jeff. Awesome stuff.
We appreciate that, the kind words and the passionate call right there. I'm not going to get into the backs against the wall thing, especially when you're throwing the Mets and Giants. Like, what does that have to do with this Knicks team? But this Knicks team, BT, has shown a propensity, maybe Detroit series in Game 6, just going on the road and being able to, or Indiana Game 3, that was a big one. Boston the first two games, they get behind big and they come back. They have shown to be a resilient group. But they've got to finish the job here. Let's not forget, they were favorites in this series. This is not David versus Goliath. To your point that you say this consistently, hey, this is not the little engine that could New York Knicks team. This is the team that was one of the favorites to win the NBA title this year.
Third shortest odds.
Yeah. And then coming into this series in the Eastern Conference Finals with home court, they were favorite. So even though it was 3-1, it's not the unbeatable Pacers and the little engine that could New York Knicks. Go finish the job here.
Yeah, his broad scope of, you know, New York teams being more the underdog, I was following. It's pretty interesting. There's not enough evidence for me to really support that because the 86 Mets bludgeoned everybody to death. I mean, the 98 Yankees, best of all time. I mean, Yankees always crank home runs. They're championship teams. I don't know if I would agree with what he said there, but I have come to the realization, and I came to this realization long ago with this Knicks team. They have yet to prove that they really handle prosperity. They haven't shown us that yet, but you better believe that they've shown us that they respond to adversity. That is the bell that they answer.
Great point, because the prosperity is a key part of being a championship
team,
too. That's
why I don't think they're a championship team, and hope I'm wrong.
It's why after they couldn't put away the Pistons in Game 5 at home, I was discouraged, saying it doesn't really matter what happens against the Pistons in Game 6, because they're not beating the Celtics anyway, assuming health. And now that doesn't matter, because the Celtics weren't fully healthy, and the Knicks did beat the Celtics. They've got to be able to handle prosperity, even Game 1. In this series, being up big, about to take a one-game-to-none lead and protect home court against the Pacers.
Yeah.
Put yourself in a good spot out of the gate. They couldn't do that.
It's not. I'm happy you went there, because I wasn't even necessarily thinking that, but we're on the same page. It's not just like series to series or game to game. It's sequences within the game.
That drive you nuts about this team. They're freaking maddening. But they're 2 wins away from the NBA Finals. Mm-hmm. Frank is in Roseland, New Jersey. What's up, Frank?
How we doing, boys?
Good. What's up?
Hey, Frank.
So on the Knicks,
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Attention sports enthusiasts. Keep the adrenaline pumping and elevate your game day with Chumba Casino. It's completely free to play. No purchase necessary. Whether you're cheering from the stands, on the move, or relaxing at home, Chumba Casino brings the thrill of social casino directly to your fingertips. Experience the ultimate social casino adventure with reels of casino-style games offering hundreds of exciting options to choose from and fresh new releases every week. There's always something new and thrilling to explore. From action-packed social slots and classic blackjack to engaging bingo and solitaire, the fun never stops. Plus, enjoy generous daily login bonuses and a fantastic free welcome bonus to kickstart your social gaming journey. Dive into the excitement. Discover a world where you can play for your chance to redeem some serious prizes and have a blast along the way. Don't miss out. What are you waiting for? Join now and immerse yourself in nonstop fun and adventure with Chumba Casino. Get in on the action today at ChumbaCasino.com and make every day a Chumba day. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus T&Cs apply.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Grilling season is in full swing, and Whole Foods Market has the essentials to make summer meals simple, flavorful, and affordable. With great everyday prices across the store, it's easy to build a crowd-pleasing spread without sacrificing quality. The 365 by Whole Foods Market brand offers a wide selection of grilling favorites, like no antibiotics ever chicken thighs, ground beef, wild-caught salmon burgers, and uncured hot dogs. There are also plenty of sides to choose from, including organic salad kits, kettle cooked chips, tortilla chips, and bold zesty salsas. For toppings and marinades, look for organic condiments like no sugar added ketchup and yellow mustard, plus spice rubs and sauces to bring extra flavor. To round things out, pick up sparkling water, organic lemonade, and pints of ice cream, plus organic cake cones for an easy summer dessert. There are so many ways to save on summer grilling favorites at Whole Foods Market.
I kind of am with you, BT. It's a matchup thing. Like, Shamit, I can't believe I'm talking about him now, but he needs to play. Like, you got to. The Knicks are going to be at their best and win this series and win these next two games if they muck it up. They got to get to the foul line. They got to play defense. They got to slow the game down. Shamit brings defense, intensity, He shows emotion. When guys like Hart, OG Bridges, good, great players at times aren't having their best series, Tibbs has got to pivot because Carlisle is an elite coach and he's playing matchups. He's pivoting. He's making adjustments. It's an adjustment that he's made the last couple games. You know, he's got to play 8 to 12, 14 minutes. And if they're going to slow the game down, he's got to play. I think another point, you know, and on kind of slowing it down, they're going to they might do Hakimich. And if Kat gets in foul trouble and they do Hakimich, we're screwed.
Well, all right, a couple things. You actually beat me to it. Good call. But if they do, you got to go to Achiuwa because that's what happened last night. And he had the N1. Not that Achiuwa was amazing, but I trust him. He's serviceable. So the Hakimich thing, and they deployed that a little bit last night for the first time, I believe, all series.
Yeah.
I know they did it last night, maybe one other time, but I don't think that they did. That shows me, and that should show all of us here, that it's got the Pacers spinning their wheels.
They want him out of the game.
They don't want to Hakimich because when they do that, it stagnates the game, and that's advantage Knicks. But the way the game was going, they did something philosophically that they did not want to do going into the series. That means that now Carlisle's like, okay, I don't really want to do it. I got to do it. And now we're forcing them to react, which is nice.
Right, and play into our hands, I guess. But still, I don't want the Hakimich either.
No, it's funny. Neither do I.
Yeah.
But I think, unless it was like 15 times and he shot 2 for 15, it would never get to that level. But I do think it still is advantage Knicks if they do it a little bit because it really gets their flow away from the offense.
Yeah, and then
if he misses all of them.
And the Knicks would have to make an adjustment, obviously, in accordance with that if they start to do that more often.
Yep.
And then you trust Tibbs to make the adjustments.
I don't know if I do. Well, I hope I do.
Well, but he's made them. And that's what I was going to say. Like, part of my issue, I just grew up following the Pat Riley mold, right? Because it worked. I saw it. It was the first thing that I remember watching as a basketball fan and learning about the game through him. And the number one thing that I remember in the postseason was, well, two things. They shaved their heads outside of Ewing.
Yep. And black sneakers.
Yeah, right. But they, I was trying to think, Starks didn't shave his head either at the time.
There was one or two guys that did not.
Yeah, I think it was Ewing and Starks. But anyway, that the bench was short.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand why. You want your best players playing the most minutes in the postseason. So I've always felt that theory. I've always had that since Pat Riley. So you're going back 30 years. So I trust the coach to determine who should be playing and who shouldn't.
Yep.
And if Landry Shamet or DeLon Wright aren't getting minutes, to me that shows that these guys aren't ready. I'm not talking about now. I'm talking about the entire season, right? For the most part. Now, Tibbs has a short bench in the regular season, so he's certainly going to have a short bench in the postseason, which I'm fine with. But now what's happening is he's been forced to change his hand and seeing it have some success. Not that Landry Shamet's a difference maker, but his 8 to 10 minutes a night could be impactful and refreshing Jalen Brunson or putting some defensive pressure on the Pacers and slowing them down or interrupting guys or getting them out of routine or rhythm. It's working. Again, not a game changer in the big scheme of things, but it's working. So now I think Tibbs is also evolving and learning that maybe he could get quality minutes out of these guys. My question would be, okay, well, why didn't you think of that before? Why did you get to wait till now?
Because I don't think he's very adaptable. And that's the word that I've always used with Tom. I don't really trust his adaptability. I think some of his defensive philosophies are a bit antiquated. I'm not even going to get into that now. We'll do that when we have to. But I just think he's slow to the roll to change, but man. He's stubborn. But he's almost 70. He does what he does.
I can understand you saying that, but he's proven to be opposite that. Like, you can't say adaptable or stubborn when he's gone away from what he's normally done in this postseason.
I can, because it was forced upon him. He did not initiate that. Now, I also give him credit for last night proactively going to it. But keep in mind, why did we see Wright? Why did we see Shamet? We saw them the previous game because foul troubles basically necessitated that they got burned.
But if he were stubborn and not adaptable,
well, then he'd just be an idiot.
Well, I'm saying
I know he's not an idiot.
Then they wouldn't be in, period, after that. Or even game one of the playoffs with campaign getting the run and I forget who it was, Bridges, whoever was on the bench in game one. Like, I think he's shown that. I just sometimes to a fault, because you were ahead of it talking about they need to get the bench more involved. Some callers brought it up. I'm like, come on, dude. Landry Shamet, like, we're going to make a big deal about it. Man, earlier in the season, Huck Porty. Yeah, okay. It's going to be about Huck Porty. Like, I can't go there. I trust the coach to decipher and determine which players can be of use. But Tibbs now, by going with Shamet and Wright for more minutes is almost going against what he showed us in the beginning, because now he's going with these guys.
Listen, you trust him more than me. At the end of the day, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter as much how he got there.
Yeah,
it's that he got there and that he stays there.
Right.
And, you know, think about what you just said here when your introduction to the Knicks and basketball, Pat Riley.
Yeah.
Now, there is a limited bench, and we know the story, trying to find a second wing for Pat, Blackman, Kiki, blah, 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 so on, a million years ago, whatever. But the thing that changed from then to now is the pace. So there's so many more possessions and so much more up and down, and so many, like, from a defensive perspective, the amount of energy that you expend covering the perimeter and going through multiple screens, and whether it's Reggie Miller or Steph Curry, and obviously now today's shooters, is you have to work more. So you can't get away with playing six or seven guys because they're just playing more and harder.
Especially in this series with this matchup against that team. This is courtesy of TNT, Kevin Harlan on the call.
I like how Towns got up on that pick and roll.
Whoa!
He has been a first quarter machine tonight. Jalen Brunson.
That, to me, BT, was the beginning of the end in this game. I know it was a long game, and maybe the Pacers got a little closer after that. That was Brunson's three in the first quarter. After starting out on fire, then hitting that three in the first quarter to extend the lead to 10, place exploded. A rare, hot Knicks start. That was a big moment early on in this game.
It was awesome. And, you know, his first bucket was good. All right, here we go. Just get things going in the right direction. I thought his second basket, that was when he was working the baseline. He had a little, I don't know. Like, and he doesn't really work the baseline in terms of jump shots all the time. It's more in the paint. It's more layups. It's more threes, whatever. This was like 10-foot fall away, pure. I'm like, oh, here we go. He's not even touching the rim. It's all net. It's on.
That was a Lime Time highlight of the night presented by Corona. BT sent me the picture of himself as Slim Shady.
Yeah, he asked for it.
This was, yeah, I did. And we got to get this on digital somehow. You get the short hair going. You could see, like, similarly, you could see, you know, the high forehead, like we were going bald back then.
Yeah, well, you can see it there.
Yeah, I think so.
It's all spiky. Yeah. I don't think so.
No, I mean, maybe a little bad, bit. Yeah.
I think I look good. I think I look better then than I do now. I wish I still looked like that. Jeez.
Well, I mean, you actually don't look that different. You look a lot younger. Mm,
well, that's what I'm saying.
It's got to get out there. 25 year anniversary of the Marshall Mathers LP, which inspired that picture. Blonde headed BT back in the day. Also, been 25 years since the Knicks have been in the Eastern Conference Finals. They are now two wins away from the NBA Finals. Eddie is in Hicksville. What's up, Eddie?
Hey, guys. Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
All right, Ed.
So, what's up, BT?
Hey.
So as far as last night's concerned, me personally, it was something I needed to see as a Knicks fan, because when they closed out the Boston Celtics in six, I couldn't believe how well they played, and they played the same way in game one for 46 minutes, but then we all know what happened. And I feel like, and myself and the Knicks, they've been spooked ever since that collapse. They've been playing too tight for me as I'm watching them. So to see how the game went last night, to me personally, even though like Cat and two other guys shot 218 from downtown, besides that, I thought they played great as a unit, and they were cutting off the passing lanes when the Pacers were trying to fast break. The only thing that bothers the hell out of me, after Brunson or Cat drives to the hole, they fall into the frigging camera guy, and then the Pacers just come flying up court, and it's 5-on-4. But, you know, the guys they had in last night, Shamet and the other dude.
The one, right, yeah.
Thank you. You know, they did a good job. They cut off all the passing lanes. You know, they did a lot of cheating last night and benefited them. But, guys, thanks.
You got it, buddy. Well, look what's changed here. I just went to the game, back to the game one box score, right? So Bridges played 46 minutes, 42 for OG. Carl played 40, 38 for Brunson, 44 for Hart. You did not see a second from Shamet. You did not see a second from DeLon Wright. Deuce played 25, Cam played, Payne played 10. Those minutes have obviously gone elsewhere. And Mitch played 21.
This is which game?
This was game one.
Yeah, okay.
Where they scored 138 points, obviously, in overtime, aiding that high-scoring effort. I can't prove this. I do feel, though, that if those guys would have gotten, if it would have been in the right part of the game, some meaningful minutes, Shamet and DeLon Wright, I think the Knicks would have won the game.
I do think, I was reading a lot of stuff this morning, I do think that, now, again, you got to win game one, and the series would have been so much easier. The vibe, the feel would have been so much different today than it is now being down 3-2. But I feel like they learned a lot from that loss. You'd like to learn that much without having to give up that lead and like, oh, man, they almost came back and we still won the game. But it's clearly on their minds. Kat talked about it after the game. He said anybody who's not talking about or thinking about game one would be lying. They were asked clearly about that, and some players, I think it was Josh Hart, was saying, like, we weren't really thinking about game one, but we wanted to make sure we closed it out and keep the pedal to the metal and do what we normally do. But maybe, BT, they learned from that to a point where anytime now they have a lead that is comparable to what they had in game one, they're going to be consciously aware of what happened and make sure you don't do it again. I think it'd be a good thing.
I think it's imperative that everybody goes through that. One of the things you hear a lot about, and now hopefully it doesn't kill you.
Yeah, well,
like
right.
If, like if you're, what's that guy, that John Van de Velde, whatever that golfer's name was 30 years ago, who like rinsed seven shots on the last hole at the British Open. That poor guy never recovered. He might still be in a pub, you know, sucking down his sorrows. But one thing that they say about young athletes is that You must experience failure. And you could take that before you could just keep building and become whatever you might be destined to become with hard work and some fortune. So the young athlete then turns into the team. And as a team, you've got to learn how to deal with heartbreak, because inevitably it's going to come. And I think I just used golf. I think a good example there is Phil Mickelson. Nobody had more golf. And you were watching golf back then with Tiger and Phil when it was at its heyday for us. When Phil went through heartbreak after heartbreak and just implosion after implosion, there is nobody that can convince me that didn't harden him for eventual success. It calloused him to a point to deal with the adversity the next time it presented itself, whether it was Augusta or whatever it may have been. And I'd like to think that the same's going to apply to these Knicks. I don't know that it will, but hopefully it will.
Think about what they've experienced throughout the postseason. We've seen this team grow.
Dude, I can't wait till tomorrow night.
I know.
This is going to be tough.
We've seen this team grow before our very eyes. Think about where we were game one against Detroit, having to come back in that game, losing at home, having to win on the road, overcome huge deficits in Boston against all odds, having to bounce back after blowing an opportunity to close another series. Game one, overcoming, blowing a big lead and getting it back. Like, there's been a lot that has gone on. Not only that, like, that's one aspect, the big leads that were blown, the big leads that were overcome, then having the growth of the core players gelling, now having the involvement of the bench players being a part of it. Like, we're seeing almost a season's worth of evolvement in one postseason from this Knicks team.
That's a good point. You know, and I was wondering, I'm like, like, what kind of condition can Shamet be in and DeLon Wright? Now, clearly, like, those guys, practice is over. That's when they got to stay. That's when their game starts. You got to, you know, you're there for 2 hours, getting the running in, getting the reps in, because you're not getting in during the game. But the one thing that you can't replicate, like, I can promise you, now, maybe it changes a little bit today if for a shoot-around or a walkthrough, but I can promise you that Karl-Anthony Towns and a combo of Cat, Shamet, you know, DeLon Wright and whatever forward, you know, the OG, whomever, that they have not been practicing on the court together. So it's one thing for Tom to learn to trust these guys, but now they're learning a feel for each other in the Eastern Conference Finals.
It's unbelievable.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Attention sports enthusiasts. Keep the adrenaline pumping and elevate your game day with Chumba Casino. It's completely free to play. No purchase necessary. Whether you're cheering from the stands, on the move, or relaxing at home, Chumba Casino brings the thrill of social casino directly to your fingertips. Experience the ultimate social casino adventure with reels of casino-style games offering hundreds of exciting options to choose from and fresh new releases every week. There's always something new and thrilling to explore. From action-packed social slots and classic blackjack to engaging bingo and solitaire, the fun never stops. Plus, enjoy generous daily login bonuses and a fantastic free welcome bonus to kickstart your social gaming journey. Dive into the excitement. Discover a world where you can play for your chance to redeem some serious prizes and have a blast along the way. Don't miss out. What are you waiting for? Join now and immerse yourself in nonstop fun and adventure with Chumba Casino. Get in on the action today at ChumbaCasino.com and make every day a Chumba day. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. TNCs apply.
going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Grilling season is in full swing, and Whole Foods Market has the essentials to make summer meals simple, flavorful, and affordable. With great everyday prices across the store, it's easy to build a crowd-pleasing spread without sacrificing quality. The 365 by Whole Foods Market brand offers a wide selection of grilling favorites, like no antibiotics ever chicken thighs, ground beef, wild-caught salmon burgers, and uncured hot dogs. There are also plenty of sides to choose from, including organic salad kits, kettle cooked chips, tortilla chips, and bold zesty salsas. For toppings and marinades, look for organic condiments like no sugar added ketchup and yellow mustard, plus spice rubs and sauces to bring extra flavor. To round things out, pick up sparkling water, organic lemonade, and pints of ice cream, plus organic cake cones for an easy summer dessert. There are so many ways to save on summer grilling favorites at Whole Foods Market.
Well, these things should be worked out long before that.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, you're not playing these guys. I'm trusting Thibs. You're not playing these guys at all. Now you're going to unleash them in the Eastern Conference Finals?
Well, think about where we might be if he didn't learn to trust them earlier in the season. They've proven valuable enough and trustworthy enough. That's on him for not doing it.
Now, it could, though, be specific to this matchup as well. We have to be understanding of that. I get it. But it would have been nice to at least have... Like, all of a sudden, it's like, hey, the Knicks have somewhat useful bench. You don't need scoring from DeLon Wright or Landry Shamet.
Uh-huh.
But if they could give you 8 quality minutes, which is not a lot.
And they have every time they play, by the way. Right. The numbers back that up.
And it's not just about them producing in those 8 minutes. You know what you're going to get from them. It's more important to give the other guys some rest and keep them fresh over the course of those 8 minutes, throughout the course of the game.
No question.
So there's a benefit here that you're seeing clearly with the Knicks and the involvement of a deeper bench. You know, I was in the building, BT. We talked about it. I'm fine with the seats. Like, there was my buddy Wills, thank you, Saratoga Wills, hooking it up. We had a great time. It was the 200 section, like row 3. Fine with that. One thing that is fascinating to me, and I don't know if we've had this conversation, we might have, but maybe not gotten into detail with it. How the hell do the courtside / celebrity seats work? Because there were, by the way, the best part, I don't know if you saw this last night, did you see who was in attendance?
I mean, there were so many.
No, you would know right away who I'm talking about. From The Sopranos, not Edie Falco.
Not Bobby Bacala's always there, so I'm not going to count that. Who?
Chrissy.
I did see that.
Yes, dude.
I did see that.
It got
yes,
a huge...
I saw that.
And then he gave this... You saw the clip that they both... You just gave a stare. It was so great.
I feel like Reggie didn't say his name properly. Like, it was a little off. I'm like, look at Chrissy. Yeah, I saw Chrissy that. Yeah, 100%.
Garden went nuts. But anyway, so there was a lot of people there, to your point.
Oh, yeah.
So two-part question for you.
Yep.
Number one, how do you think this works? Like... Does Chalamet and Stiller or Michael Imperioli, are they paying for these seats?
I believe those are free. Those are free.
So Spike is paying for his season ticket forever.
Yes, 100%. It's funny. Colt asked me the same question last night. He's like, does Spike pay for those?
That I know because something in the Post, I think, recently or somewhere.
He's always paid for them.
Okay, but that's a season ticket, fine. But the celebrities, you think they're all free?
Everybody else gets hooked up.
And all of those celebs?
Yeah. I can't speak to
Edie
every
Falco.
Johnny Mac may, because he goes to so many. I remember I saw an article a week or two ago from Howard Stern. And he basically said, if they don't give me front row seats, I'm not going. Because it's bad for my brand to be in the second row. Whatever. Okay.
Who said that?
It's Howard Stern.
Okay.
So basically said, like, if they don't give me front row, I'm not going to go, even if it's a great seat. For us, like, I'd sit in second row, but I get it. I get his brand, whatever. I think that this goes back to models and, you know, PR relationships. And it's the Garden's way of showing that this is the absolute spot that you have to be. And by the way you do that is to give free tickets to incentivize popular people to come.
So all comps. Wow.
Yeah, it's my guess. Not even a guess. It's my belief.
Stiller and Chalamet just getting the comps courtside, same seats every single
game. I don't know about Stiller. Stiller's there a lot. Like those people who are there all
Tracy
the time.
Tracy Morgan.
That I honestly don't know with those guys.
I'm fascinated by that. But then the second part of it is something you touched upon with Howard Stern there.
Yep.
Like, I don't think I would care. Now, I'm obviously, you know, never going to be that level of celebrity or whatever. I don't think it would matter. Like you just said, we'd sit wherever. Like, get me in the building.
I don't know if I said we'd sit wherever.
Well, I would.
Okay.
I would. We could do it.
Yeah, I didn't quite say that.
I want to be in the building for a big game.
I got you.
I mean, I like being, you know, row five or down.
Yeah, and you really like it when you buddy up in Saratoga, pays $1,000 for the tickets, then you definitely go like last night.
That's exactly right. Then I'm definitely in. But, like, when you reach a certain level of fame.
Uh-huh.
At what point is the Stern mentality the right one? Like, you're not putting me courtside? Like, I can't be seen in the third row.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, because then there is a clear pecking order of celebrity and status.
And popularity and status and fame. Well, I mean, listen, there's the chart. And as Howard Stern was the king of the medium for however many years, and first there was the rise, and then there was the multi-decade, you know, top of the perch. That's one thing. But now he's on the downside. You know, he's just getting older. It is what it is.
But I mean, he's still Stern.
I understand. But that doesn't mean as much. Like, depends what you ask. Like, to me, he's still Stern. That means nothing to me anymore.
No,
I don't care.
You're not a fan.
I don't care. I think his show stinks now. I do. I just don't think it's the same.
I mean,
he's totally different than what made him popular.
Well, yeah, of course he's different. He's off for 40 years.
I don't even mean that. Okay. Listen, his career is amazing. Yeah. But I just don't think it's the same for me. And others do. And that's fine. I'm not judging. But I do think that... Like, if Stern's a devout Knicks fan, and he's not, and he said that. Like, he's not even a huge sports guy. Right. If he's a massive Knicks guy, he's probably better equipped to deal with going from row one to row two or row three because he's in the house watching the Knicks. But he would only go to watch the Knicks because he's like, same with when he would go to scores.
If he's going
to
be courtside.
He's like, yeah, I mean, I don't care about Patrick Ewing. I care about doing a bit in the morning. That's among the greatest of all time. But whereas somebody like Ben Stiller, again, let's say he doesn't pay for them and their comps, now he's a movie star, maybe a longer trajectory than a radio host, whatever.
He's not at the peak, though, of his career.
No, he's not. Yet. He's definitely not. But he might be more willing to go to row two or three because he loves his Knicks and he'd rather be there than not.
I get it. It took me a little while to actually come to this realization, but I can relate to Stern. It's like me with the Johnnies. Like, yeah, I'll go. Mm-hmm. I'm sitting courtside.
I got news for you, buddy. It's only going to get tougher. St. John's is ranked number one in the pre. Do you believe they are number one? Number one,
in
they
the
rank. Yes,
that's
it's insane.
Insane, dude. I'm gonna get coach on the line here. Get the- No, but I was thinking.
So
about
if
that.
I can't get you front row again, I get you row two. You're not coming. Get the hell out of here. You're coming.
I got used to the court side.
Well, I mean, I don't know what
Boone
to tell
getting,
you.
Is Boone getting court side or he getting row two?
He's the manager of the Yankees, buddy. The first place up by 7.5 place, New York Yankees.
Yeah, they blew the World Series a year ago. And I beat him head-to-head in the card game. He's going to get a better seat than me.
Every
they
time.
Play for it.
Every time he's going to get a better seat. I'll get you in there. I still might be able to get you front row and Hoff, too. Although Hoff doesn't even care about St. John, so I'm not worried about him as much.
So
you do.
If somebody was like, let's try to bring it down. If somebody was like, all right, Don LaGreca and Michael Kay are going to go to the game tonight. They're going to get front row. BT and Sal, you guys could go, but you get like third row.
For St. John's?
No, for the Knicks I'm talking about. Or whatever, just a hypothetical.
No, I can't work like that, man. There's no way. No. First of all, and I love it, I say this with a joke, if I'm sitting behind Kay, I can't see because of his massive head.
Right.
So I got to sit in front of Michael to see, or at least next to him.
All right, how about we do it? If
he knows I'm kidding when I say
Evan
that.
If Evan and Tiki get invited to...
Not a chance in hell. No way am I sitting behind them. Zero chance.
Well, Boomer and Gio, Evan and Tiki.
Boomer's Boomer. It's a little different.
Four on the front. Well, Tiki's Tiki.
Nah. Yeah, he is.
But, yeah, because you worked with him so long.
Oh, I'm talking about in the radio. Like, they're both amazing athletes. In terms of the radio industry, Boomer.
But if, so the Garden's like, hey, guys. No, this would never happen. It's totally hypothetical. Hey, guys, four comps, Boomer, Gio, Evan, Tiki, and then we can maybe squeeze in BT and Sal in, like, the third or fifth row.
Okay, who are the four that they said?
Boomer, Gio, Evan, and Tiki.
And they wanted to give us what?
You know, we'd be back with Lugie and Maresh.
I'll tell you, we have more fun with them. Bunch of stiffs sitting up
See?
There.
See? That's what I'm saying. Check the ego and you go to the game. Who cares? I'll be up in the 400s. Get me in the building. All right, BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019. Charlie's in Massapequa. What's up, Charlie?
Hey, boys. How you doing? I love your show. Love the passion. You always give me a nice jolt during my lunch break.
Thank you.
Awesome, dude.
I'm a big OG guy.
I can sense the jolt.
I know he's...
yeah, you sound very lively.
Go ahead, Charlie. Yeah, just kidding.
I know he's had a really rough series. You know, despite his demeanor, I think he's a really tenacious guy. He's a smart player, in my opinion. I don't think those things just go away. I'm wondering if it could be possible that he could be hurt, because he doesn't seem the same since that game when he grabbed at his hamstring.
Are you talking about OG?
I know he came back and he played well after that, but yes. I'm wondering if it could be an issue.
I thought about that. Matter of fact, I thought about it last night. I didn't say anything. I haven't really said anything about that on the air. It's a thought that I've had. I can't give it a ton of credence, though, because he's out there and he's moving quickly.
Yeah.
You know, like you pulled hamstrings. I know Gio's talked about doing it playing softball with Boomer. I pulled a lot of muscle. Like, when you pull something, you are not functional. Like, if you really pull it, you can't move.
I wouldn't think that he would be better defensively and worse shooting the basketball if that were the case. You wouldn't think.
I agree. I mean, listen, the physiology of the body, I won't get nuts here, but if I have a pulled hamstring, do I think I am better equipped to go laterally to play defense or to raise up to take a jump shot? I would think that taking the jump shot would be less impactful in terms of feeling pain.
Right.
To your point.
Dave is calling from the Jersey Shore. What's up, Dave?
Love the show, guys. I love your knowledge of every sport, and I really enjoy it. But, you know, coming down, you know, these guys are athletes, you know what I mean? And they have to hit the free throws. You know, in game one, which his name missed that free throw, and then they tied it with that. If he would have hit that free throw, we would have won the game. We wouldn't be talking about game one.
Yeah.
You know, we would have won it.
Yep.
So I feel that these guys got to take their time. You know, there's no time limit like a pitch in baseball. You know, take your time and hit the friggin' free throw, you know?
Well,
it's going to make a difference.
Dave, you know what it is? Listen, you're 100% right. This goes back to third grade CYO. You got to hit free throws, man. But we don't waste time on that. Because what are we supposed to say outside of what you just said? Hit them. Like, at least if the Knicks give up 130 points, we could give you, hey, maybe mess around defensively with this, or give Shamet more minutes, or DeLon Wright, or don't play Cat and Brunson jointly as much. These guys don't step up to a free shot 15 feet away with nobody in their face and hit at least 75%. I don't know what to tell you.
I was having this conversation with one of the guys I was at the game with last night, as it pertained to Mitch specifically at the free throw line. And he was just saying, like, is it the size of these guys? Is it the awkwardness? And I remember, Mitch didn't pick up basketball until very late in his life.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had the issue with Shaq and maybe his hands too big for the ball. But then it got me just thinking of missed free throws in general and how much of it has to be mental.
Yeah.
Because it's not a physical thing. There's nobody stopping you from doing it. It's the easiest shot you can have.
Mm-hmm.
It's about keeping consistency, I would guess, which is also about being mentally disciplined to stick to your exact routine and rhythm and form and perfect. I mean, I guess I'm trying to analyze and break it down. Why can free throws be an issue for certain guys? Mitch is a different story
yep.
than missing one in the clutch like OG Anunoby, but like, isn't free throws then the majority of time mental?
Okay, so I'll answer it this way, and you've heard me say many times, like, there's nothing more powerful than the mind. I mean, the mind can propel or destroy you, okay? So, I did it for actual golf reasons, but I won't bore you with that. I tried to go from playing lefty when I was a lefty batter to playing righty, okay? Short version, it didn't go well at all.
Right.
But I remember specifically, like, I'd be at my country club, and I'd try to go out at times where nobody was really on the course, because it's embarrassing. I mean, I can hit a ball 3 feet. Not that I need Timmy Mickelson out there, but I mean, I got a certain amount of pride.
Right.
And I noticed, like, there's certain holes on the course where the other holes, they're not, like, nobody will see you play. And I felt more comfortable during those moments on that course because I wasn't in my head. I'm like, you know, I know this is going to sound ridiculous, but, you know, if some guy sees me just swing like a complete bozo and then, he calls the shove, I was embarrassed, right?
Yeah.
Whereas if I'm just with my buddies and they know me for 20, I don't care. It's the moments of isolation. If you think about it, and now we bring it back to the thing about, in basketball, the only time you're a solitary figure, unlike baseball, on the mound or in the box or other, is when you're at the free throw line. It's the only time that all eyes are on you and really focused on nobody else. And I think that's where things go awry.
Which would also play to when guys are wide open sometimes from three. It's like they don't know what to do with themselves. And
They try to make an open shot perfect.
Yeah. Instead of just being in rhythm without thinking.
Without thinking.
So that's why. Now, I think Mitch and the majority of free throw shooters are in a different realm.
Mechanical.
I think Mitch is he just can't shoot the basketball.
So do I. But I do think that there's one thing. Like, I know that others, Rick Barry said, hey, I'll teach you how to shoot underhand. I told you I did that back in third or fourth grade. My dad made me, as I laughed when I saw that story. But the point is, I look at Mitch, and because he's so bad, and he's had a little spurt where he's gotten better in the playoffs, but he's historically atrocious. I think he's doing himself a disservice by going there and wasting so much time. It's like he's inviting scrutiny. He's inviting more eyes and more sensitivity to the situation. If I'm that bad, I'm trying to get the hell out of Dodge. Like, again, that will bring it back to the golf. Like, if I'm actually by myself, I'll take two or three practice swings, and I'll actually take the shot. Whereas if I feel people watching me, I'll just do it fast and keep it moving.
I don't
want to be there.
Shaq got better with practice, and he became somewhat serviceable.
Yeah,
remember,
he did.
But he got better. I think Mitch, if he practiced a ton, can find a form that could fit him and can be a little bit better. Whereas with OG Anunoby missing that free throw in game one, I don't think it's about practice with him. He's a great shooter. Should be a great shooter. I just think that that's either mental letdown, a pressure, a thing.
Well,
you're thinking too much. Oh, I can't miss this. And then you short it or you too much. Like, it's got to be free throw shooting, which is why when the guys like Steph Curry or Reggie Miller, when these guys don't miss, they just walk up and do the same thing every time. I don't care. I'm making this same routine, same rhythm, no matter what the circumstance. It has to be a mental discipline thing because I don't believe it's physical with the majority of guys.
I tend to agree, but if these guys were all shooting 100% and then they missed one with 9 seconds to go, I could attribute it more to, all right, he tightened up, he froze, he overthought it, he got his own head, brain took over. You know, OG's not 90%, not 100%.
Right.
Like, you're gonna... Steph Curry's missed free throws with 10 seconds to go. So is Reggie Miller.
Right, but...
So is Jordan.
So I guess my question is why? Because I could argue...
Why? Because nobody's 100% effective shooting a free throw ever. Not even in your backyard.
But that's what I'm saying. But why is it? It's not a physical...
No, I think it could be... we're not robots, so I don't think every mechanic... Like, if you think the way the ball... The way it comes off the hand and
yes, but for the pros who do this all day long.
All right, well, I know what you're saying, but then let me flip it this way. Ground ball to a second baseman, benign. He's going to be out by 10 feet. I'll use the Mets. Why does Jeff McNeil 9 out of 10 times put it in Pete Alonso's chest and then maybe once out of 10 times throw it at his cap? Because they're not robots.
Yeah,
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, no, to me, it was just something that I was thinking of. Like,
I don't think he's put enough work in.
No, Mitch, you're talking about?
Yeah, back to that.
I have a bigger issue with OG Anunoby. I don't think Mitch has put enough work in. You're right, but I have a bigger issue with guys like Anunoby missing a key free throw. Hey, dude, you got to hit one here. I mean, down the stretch, come on. Yeah.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Grilling season is in full swing, and Whole Foods Market has the essentials to make summer meals simple, flavorful, and affordable. With great everyday prices across the store, it's easy to build a crowd-pleasing spread without sacrificing quality. The 365 by Whole Foods Market brand offers a wide selection of grilling favorites, like no antibiotics ever chicken thighs, ground beef, wild-caught salmon burgers, and uncured hot dogs. There are also plenty of sides to choose from, including organic salad kits, kettle cooked chips, tortilla chips, and bold zesty salsas. For toppings and marinades, look for organic condiments like no sugar added ketchup and yellow mustard, plus spice rubs and sauces to bring extra flavor. To round things out, pick up sparkling water, organic lemonade, and pints of ice cream, plus organic cake cones for an easy summer dessert. There are so many ways to save on summer grilling favorites at Whole Foods Market.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.